This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Christian McCaffrey is ranked where in Dynasty? We got the Packers passing game and the Cowboys running back group with Will FF of the Monday Night Mock Draft Show and sports affiliation on Discord there. Let's start off with Dak Prescott. We actually talked about him in the pre-show just a little bit. You have him in your top 10, and it's crazy to think that that is actually high versus the market. So it's more of the, what's the market doing? Because you and I are in alignment that Dak Prescott is getting a lot of Dynasty shade, and frankly, he shouldn't.
Correct. Yeah, I think that Dak Prescott, he throws for over 4,500 yards last season. He did put up a lot of points. It was over 350 fantasy points all season. And he had 36 passing touchdowns, you know, and I'm sorry, 36 touchdowns, not passing. But he's got just a he had a plethora of ways to make points. And I think that he'll finish within the top 10. Based on points, solely based on points. So you're saying if you're in Dynasty and you're in your draft and you're looking and you have, let's just say you have the sixth pick and Josh Allen is gone, Lamar's gone, Stroud's gone, Dak Prescott's still good to rely on because he still will bring up some points for you for sure. Even though I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm not a Dak fan, I'd still pick him.
I saw him go, and this is, again, not overtly uncommon. Recent startup draft ongoing this week, QB 15. At 309.
Wow.
Pretty nutty. Yeah. So the fact that you can wait, maybe even trade back, and you can still get him as your QB2, all that is pretty fascinating from a team building and profile perspective.
I agree.
One thing we said pre-show was, you know, and I'll add one thing you said is, you know, we talked about is he's just getting older. He's kind of in that zone of old enough that people can discount him if they want. I still think, you know, you look at guys that age and the rules of the NFL, you're looking at 5+ more years pretty easily. And then the other thing I would say is a positive is the rushing should come back a little bit, right? He had the huge ankle injury, lower leg injury, siphoned away a lot of his rushing. Rushing was a little back last year. I think it's going to come a little more back. Yeah, you know, like enough. Yeah. He's not a Kirk Cousins. He's not a Matt Stafford. He gives you something, opportunity for 3, 4, 5 red zone touchdowns at best, which is a lot more than those other guys.
I agree.
All right. Are you a Jake Ferguson fan, ancillarily? I mean, I know CeeDee Lamb's the big guy there. What do you think of Ferguson versus Schumacher?
I like Ferguson.
Okay.
I like Schumacher as well, but I'm big on Ferguson. He has the size to jump. If Dak can throw a little higher, if he needs to get over the secondary, he has those ups, and he proved that in the last game, second to last game, not the one against the Packers. But he's definitely somebody I see growing with Dak and learning a lot from Dak. And definitely putting up some points, especially if you're in a tight end premium league this year.
Yeah, Schumacher, it seems like that was the worst time to have injuries just derail things. It reminded me of, remember Hayden Hurst in Baltimore where he and Andrews came in together. Hayden Hurst had no time in August, and it just, Andrews ran with that job, and Ferguson was already rising a year before that as a potential starter.
Right.
But then you actually get into the environment where he's getting all the reps, he's producing right away. And so Schumacher might be just an on ice player that, hey, there's one job basically on the team and you lost it. You missed your opportunity, you know, not for long.
Exactly.
As the NFL goes for.
Exactly.
Let's get to what I said in the intro here. So Christian McCaffrey for you. And again, I think this is fascinating. I'm not going to say this is like I wild man take stuff. You have running back one in Dynasty, the one. Now, I think few would argue that he's not the best running back in the NFL. I think a lot of people would say you can't rank a guy that highly due to his age alone. What do you say? Because that's honestly, I think that's the one detractor of having McCaffrey higher than, say, running back 3, 4, 5. The biggest thing would be the age. So kind of speak to, you know, in debate team, you know, you always want to have a counter for what the biggest argument might be against you. So what do you have to say about just the age aspect in the running back position specifically?
Age aspect is good. He's still in the shows in that he's 27 years old and he's still within that prime time for running back. Now, running backs are always the most vulnerable because they obviously take the most hits. Christian McCaffrey, as RB1, had over 2,000 scrimmage yards last season. He had 21 touchdowns, and he just reestablished the market for running backs because he just signed a 2-year extension with $19 million per year, and he played 16 out of the 18 games. So for me, the age is not really too much of a concern right now. You still probably got another 2 or 3 years out of him if he remains healthy, because he's not immune to the injury bug, as we saw over in Carolina. He can very easily get hurt. Out of anybody else, all the running backs that are coming up behind him, whether it be Jahmyr Gibbs or if it's going to be Derrick Henry, which I know everybody has him as an RB9, whoever it may be, no one's going to be able to compare to the power that Christian McCaffrey puts out, the numbers that he puts out, the strength, the connection and the chemistry he has with Purdy. He's going to have another stellar year only if he stays healthy. I always get worried when it comes to running backs because injuries are a huge thing. I always like to take a second backup, you know, RB as high as I can in the running backs because they get hurt, you know? So I try to in the draft era, at least not during, you know, during the season, I always try, if I'm getting McCaffrey, if I'm lucky enough to get McCaffrey, I'm definitely going with another RB2, RB3 soon, very shortly thereafter. But I think that Christian McCaffrey with 21 touchdowns last year, he's just going to continue to put up numbers. And I think that he's not finished. He just got a good contract. He's got Purdy. You know, Purdy's got an arsenal over in San Francisco. And they still use McCaffrey as much as they do. And I don't see him stopping anytime soon. And I don't think the San Francisco 49ers see anything differently because they just paid him $19 million a year for a 2-year extension. That's a lot.
Yeah, the two guys historically that, again, this is rarefied air. And trust me, I don't throw around comps and career arc stuff lightly. The two guys that I think over the last 30 years or so that you say McCaffrey most looks like, whether it's his entire career, the last 4 or 5 years, how he was as a prospect and a two-way player, Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson. And those two guys, again, I don't throw that around. From this point forward, LT had 3 more years in the top 25, 1 more in the top 8. So he was actually the lowest of those two guys. And then Marshall Faulk was this good for 3 more years. And then if you remember, I think he had all those pass catching, like at 32, he had like a bunch of catches for the Jets and he was still, you know, like a viable running back 2 or flex guy that year. Yeah. And everyone thought he was done by that point, but he had 3 more of these years. And I think, again, of those two guys, you know, McCaffrey is more like Faulk than he is like Tomlinson, you know, and again, Tomlinson was awesome, but he did fall off there at the end a little more. And so I just think that, man, this is one where if you get 2 more McCaffrey-like seasons, then I think he's almost an unmovable player, right? The biggest thing in Dynasty is, like, I had one team that fell out of it mid-season, and the only reason I traded McCaffrey last year is because I got Puka Nacua a first and something else. And I was like, well, shifting over to wide receiver makes a lot of sense, and I really believe in Nacua. I get the first. I got something else meaningful, too. But if you're a contender at all, and obviously you should go into week 1 and week 4 thinking you're a contender, how can you move McCaffrey? It seems like he's almost unmovable, and yet we do see him traded, which is kind of baffling because these aren't rebuilding teams. They're just, in my opinion, they're getting cutesy because he's a two-way player. He's a guy, literally two guys in your lineup a lot of times.
Absolutely. He gets as many points as most quarterbacks. He's bringing the yardage, running backs are not a lot of people see running backs as viable, right, or reliable in Dynasty. And I understand why. But McCaffrey, if you're playing super flex, it's like having a third quarterback. Don't get me wrong, he's not obviously putting up the same numbers, of course, but I had him last year. I was lucky enough to have him last year. And I can't remember. I knew McCaffrey was in my lineup. I wasn't worrying about anything. I think that he's still got another 2 years in him. Again, minus the injury bug. He definitely has another 2 years left in him. He also came third in voting for MVP last year behind Dak.
The one thing I would ask is, in my opinion, like, so if you put, so you must, so you have Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson behind McCaffrey right there. And then you've got Jahmyr Gibbs a little lower. Can you talk about those three guys? Because obviously they're tremendously younger. They're on a good trajectory. Obviously they haven't put together the full resume of McCaffrey, but you would say that their career start, if you remember McCaffrey in year one, it was a lot of hand wringing. Oh my goodness. Look, he, you know, he's averaging three, whatever, like a Matt Forte on the ground. This is ugly. Carolina wasn't overly good. You know, you just, you put all these things together and it's like, the career start of Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, and Jahmyr Gibbs is actually better than McCaffrey. And now they have work to do, obviously. They don't have the trust factor. They're not being paid that way. So what's the difference for you in terms of they're quite a bit younger, but I would, it sounds like there's no way that they could be viewed by you as having the same ceiling.
No, definitely don't have the same ceiling. I'll start with Gibbs. Gibbs, the Lions are going to look for him. He got that first year, those first year jitters out of the way. He rushed for almost 1,000 yards, and he had a really good season. I don't want to say pretty good. He had a really good season. But this year, I'm reading and watching that they're going to use him more as a pass catcher. Now, that could be good, it could be bad, I don't know. But they're looking to use the pass catching with him because they still have Montgomery in there. And when they have Montgomery there, that keeps his ceiling a little lower, although you could still go up to an RB1 on that team over Montgomery. Breece Hall is going to have a crazy season this year. If Rodgers is back, he's young, he's feeling good. I like where the Jets are going. I think that they have a really good, they're on the right path. Hopefully Rodgers can stay healthy this year. And Bijan is definitely top three, 100%. I was never really too into him. If he fell to me as a running back in drafting, I wasn't really keen on him because I saw Breece. I like Breece Hall better. I like Gibbs better. Derrick Henry, I like a little bit better. And I know he's a little older, but you know, the Bijan has got Atlanta. Atlanta's still got to get their stuff together. Breece Hall is just gonna, with Rodgers at the helm, I think he's gonna take it to the next level. But I don't think that they have the same ceiling as Christian McCaffrey, just because of Christian McCaffrey's going to put up what I like to call Christian McCaffrey numbers. And
yeah, I think what you just said and what you started with, I think is pretty important, because there's very few players that move the needle to such an extent where their ceiling, I mean, McCaffrey averaging 25 points per game is not without the possibility. Yeah. And I just think that, you know, there's a bunch of running backs that might hit 18 points per game, 19 points per game. But you're talking about a rarefied air that one season like that. And this is kind of my pitch for, you know, Travis Kelce or some of these monster tight ends, is you discount them too much and you're playing with fire. Because
exactly,
if they give you one season like we've seen from them a few times, just one more, that's worth more than so many of these. Like, you know, let's say you have, I don't know, just pick someone, Zach Moss. I don't know. And he's a running back 18 this year. You could give him running back 18 from now until 2030. And you could make the argument that McCaffrey hitting a typical season for him is worth more than all of that. Because you can find that. You can find that. You can't find the unicorn, whatever position. And again, it's different depending on where we are and what we're talking about, the strata of player. So McCaffrey is one of those. He's a unicorn player.
I agree.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe.
For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moving over to the Packers, how about the passing game? How do you see this shaking out? They have, honestly, one of the deeper top 5-6 wide receiver cores. They've got two tight ends. Tucker Kraft, we'll see if he comes back from his injury to see how much that's a dual threat going into the year. They had Luke Musgrave with injury last year. But benefiting from Jordan Love, who was on such a tear to close that season, basically until that interception that ended their season. He was arguably one of the hottest quarterbacks, maybe top two or three in the entire NFL. Who do you see in general as the best and worst value of this passing game? Because no one's overtly expensive, and that's what makes it so fascinating from the who to buy or who to hold perspective.
Absolutely. The one thing I love about the Packers is that they have a very young crew and they're all growing together. The only older one that they have in there is Christian Watson, and saying that he's old at 25, I don't even like saying that.
But his hamstrings
they
are
have
old.
Romeo Dubs. Yeah, his hamstrings are 25 years old.
It might be 50.
Romeo Dubs is 24 years old, and last season he had 8 touchdowns, 674 receiving yards, and only 3 drops. Christian Watson had 5 touchdowns, 422 receiving yards with 0 drops. Now, Watson plays that whole veteran card where he's going to be over everybody. He's going to be mentoring, which I love. I'm all for it. Dontavian Wicks, who's my sleeper this year, to me is the highest value. 4 touchdowns, 581 receiving yards, 2 drops in 2023. We have Jordan Love, who can throw the ball. He's young and he has high football IQ. Yeah, he threw an interception at the end of the season. Okay, everybody makes mistakes, but they also have Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed had 8 touchdowns, 793 receiving yards with 2 drops in total, and with total fantasy points in 2023 of 153.2. That's high for what I think they consider him a wide receiver 3. Low to high to low, I would go Dubs, Reed, Wicks, and Watson solely based on the age factor. I do see Wicks stepping it up this year. I do see Dubs stepping it up, and I definitely am excited to watch Jordan Love and Jaden Reed. Tight ends, Luke Musgrave and Kraft. Tight ends to me are tight ends. I only play a 1 tight end premium league, so I don't really focus too much on them in terms of the drafting of the fantasy year. But I know that Musgrave is going to be a top 10. I want to say safely. I don't want to say top 5 because there really are with Laporta, Kelsey. There's just too many good tight ends. But the passing game for me is definitely going to go with Dubs, Watson, Wicks, and Reed for sure. And then they have Dylan who can catch, A.J. Dylan as well. And they just got Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is going to really help that offense immensely.
Yeah, Dontavian Wicks is such an interesting profile because he's the type that you don't see early efficiency on. Yeah, I mean, he ran almost 300 routes last year,
yep,
over 2 yards per route run, and he saw 19 routes a game. I mean, that's significant stuff when you say his limited amount of pedigree. And so coming in just right away and doing that, they even got something out of Malik Heath, for example. But Dontavian Wicks is really that name that if he was doing this on a more open depth, like if he did this on the Giants last year, you know, how, and obviously they drafted Malik Neighbors, but if they didn't, like there would be much more talking about the situation because there wouldn't be a lot of this pedigree that's higher than him because everyone, and maybe it's a Jordan Love stat, you know, just like we're talking about how great these guys are in aggregate. And maybe it just comes down to the quarterback being John Stockton, right? Like he's getting layups for everybody. Like they're doing good work. They're good wide receivers, but maybe the quarterback is just capital G great is the thing that I'm kind of swirling around. Like Jordan Love was basically playing for the first time last year. And I don't know about you, I'm such a huge proponent of the sit, learn, wait, get to watch someone be elite in front of you.
Yep.
And you're in every meeting. Like, I can't imagine the value of going, like, the first off season, it's not even really an off season. You get drafted, and it's like, whoa, life is coming at me.
Yep.
And it's like all these guys that play week 1, I don't know how that could be considered good. I mean, we see rare good outcomes, but man, Jordan Love being able to sit there, even if you don't like the guy, seeing Aaron Rodgers work, getting the game plan every week and then not playing and going through all the reps. And then you get 2 or 3 off seasons man, how can you not be much better than when you were just some squirrely 22-year-old? I don't know how you can't be better. Even Patrick Mahomes got a whole year, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, it's funny. To add to this, I'm hearing a lot in the fantasy world and the mock drafts that we do weekly and stuff. A lot of people are saying that Jordan Love is not going to have a good year because he has no receivers. I find that very interesting because
have they watched Christian Watson play when he's healthy? Like he's a cyborg out there. Guys that big don't move that fast. Like, and that alone is worth something. But yeah, there's something about having four guys and saying, you know, we don't care who gets the ball.
Exactly.
Like, that's hard to defend. Almost harder to defend. If you had Tyreek Hill and four schmucks, I don't think that's the worst worst offense to go against.
No, and you know, when you're playing PPR, you know, when they got four or five weapons that they can throw to, that's the QB I want.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Green Bay is definitely going to have a fantastic year this year. I do, as long as everybody can stay healthy, of course.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, that level in which he was playing – in the most critical games, and they needed basically every game, they go make a run all the way to the championship game.
Yeah.
I don't know how you fluke that. I mean, if he were a rookie, if that was CJ Stroud doing exactly that, I guarantee all the quibbles people were having wouldn't exist. And yet it feels like Jordan Love dynasty discounting because he sat behind Aaron Rodgers. Like I don't get the disconnect of why you're tamping this down. I thought the dynasty community is always excited about the rising Phoenix phenom, you know, early in their career. Just consider Jordan Love a rookie. And how would you think?
Especially when you're doing startup, you know, the age fits right in and you can get another good, probably five or six years out of him. You know, he had the time to sit behind Rodgers. Now, I was a big fan of Rodgers when he was with the Packers. Now that he went to the Jets, I'm like, nah, you know, I don't know. But when he was with the Packers, he was such a good mentor to Jordan Love, and that proved it last year. And the stuff that Jordan Love did out on the gridiron, because he was putting up numbers and he looked like a stud. He was listening. He was writing down notes. He was paying attention to what Rodgers was doing. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Rodgers was the best quarterback of all time, but he was a very good mentor. And that's why I'm also all in on Jordan Love and their passing game.
I was so excited because I was seeing startup ADP for this year. It's like, oh man, Jordan Love, like mid second, you know, people are getting sharp to this. I will say startup draft I'm doing this week, 108, he goes 108, which again, I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm just surprised because, you know, I mean, you get a late draft position and you're like, well, I can stack it, you know, late first, early second, and Love's your two, you know, or trade up from the later second, get Love as your two. But it might be harder, and just know he's a high variance guy. If someone likes him, first round is where quarterbacks of that ilk typically go.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
All right, how about Marvin Harrison Jr. in redraft? So dynasty versus redraft is two different things. I heard you, you know, on X, and you had some comments about how Marvin Harrison Jr. might be a little overcooked for redraft, where I saw him like wide receiver 10 or so. So this would be obviously a huge profile build if he were to produce at that level for year one with his level of profile, name cachet, and all that. He'd become Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson in his profile if he were to do that. What are kind of your reasons for concerns and maybe why you aren't in on him specifically in year one production?
So there's two reasons why I specifically think that. The first reason one is his name. He has a lot of pressure on him for that. And that's tough to get through in your first year as a rookie. And I think that he'll handle it okay. I do. But I also hearing that, and I pay attention to kind of what the coaches say throughout the preseason, that he's very, very detail oriented. Great. He's very, he's a hard worker and hard work ethic. And I'm a firm believer in hard work beats talent every time. But the coach said that he's doing too much, that he feels that he was doing a little bit more than he should. And I feel that that pressure is forcing him to do that because he feels that way. And that single-handedly can mess mentally with a rookie coming into the season with his last name. Don't get me wrong. He has the opportunity to become another Chase, Lamb, Jefferson. He can be that good. I really do think he will be. But this season, I got to watch how he plays and kind of see it, because I have a very hard time putting rookies in top 10. I really do. Because you haven't really seen them play going from college to the NFL. It's two different games to them. And we've seen a lot of guys who were studs in college not do as well as we anticipated in the NFL. And I'm trying to factor, and I'm thinking of factoring in all of these things when it comes to his name, you know, the QB situation, everything's fine. I'm just saying, like, all these things I factor in, I think that I'm not too high on him right now. Would I trade for him later on? Maybe. But would I draft him? Just because he's a rookie and I'm nervous. If I was going to be drafting a rookie, it'd probably be a rookie quarterback. So I try to stay away from the rookie wide receivers if I feel that, like, gut, you know, especially with a big name like him, he has to live up to, and he's trying to prove himself. And when he's trying to prove himself, he's doing too much. And, you know, that could be mentored. That hard work ethic, that can't usually be taught. Hard work ethic, he could go wide receiver one in the coming years. But I have to see personally, and that's how I am, personally, I have to see the rookies, how they do, especially a wide receiver.
And he's going so high in Dynasty, it almost feels like, I mean, my question is, what would be considered a success? Because if you put him at wide receiver 4, 5, 6 in Dynasty with, again, a really good crop, it's a deep core of wide receiver we have right now for the format. I mean, the expectations are basically he has to be Lamb, Chase, and, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jefferson and all these guys. Like, he has to be on their level. Like, I actually think if he finished as wide receiver 24, that would be such a massive disappointment for folks. And yet, that's something that you don't get a lot of with rookie wide receivers. So that's kind of a crazy, it'll be something to monitor over the next few months on how folks react to that, for sure.
I agree.
All right. Will FF, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your time and talents. Where can folks find you, and what content would you like to highlight for folks to be able to continue following your work?
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I really enjoy, I could talk football all day. I wish I could. Will FF, you can find me on X, formerly Twitter, at @WillFF_. I'm with the Sports Affiliation. You can find me on Monday nights on the Mock Draft Show. And every week we do a different draft. So one week we'll do a redraft. One week we'll do Dynasty Startup. Another week will be Battle of the Sexes, which we just did last night. In 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a Scott Fishbowl mock draft. So that'd be kind of fun. Check us out. Come on. You know, say hello. Follow me on Twitter. Say hello. Again, thanks for having me. I love talking football with you.
Absolutely. And that Monday night mock draft show is a great show. You can find it on X, as you mentioned. And again, you can just follow Will FF, and you can find out, you know, when those are airing, and make sure you hop on those live fun shows. All right. So that's going to do it. I am Chad Parsons. As always, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.